morning we continue our sermon series called Home, and I hope that I could communicate this message the way that it's in my heart. I hope I can communicate it better. I hope that your expectation level will be at a high so that you can pull it from me. There's something about when the environment is conducive for the preaching of the word and there is an atmosphere of expectation. They say that it's the breeding grounds for the miraculous. When there is a sense of expectation in the room, the people pull it from you. You can even talk to performers. If the crowd and the energy in that room is just on another level, it just does something. And I believe that it's even like that in the church. I believe the Holy Spirit moves when we're expecting Him to move. I don't care if you've had a messed up week and you made some mistakes, if you failed in the area of sin and you had some setbacks. It doesn't matter. You're in the right place and this message is going to speak to you. Amen? Because that's what God does. I'm going to be speaking out of Job chapter 23. I don't think I've ever in my lifetime preached out of Job, a full chapter out of Job 23. So there's a first for everything. This is my first time preaching too, if you're new. No, I'm just kidding. That's what the Bible says. Job chapter 23, verse 1. The message, if you're taking notes, which you should be, it's called Home Alone. Home Alone. Part 1, 2, and 3. Today we're talking about loneliness and the season of loneliness. How many of you know that it's so easy sometimes for us to think that loneliness is simply feeling isolated and like nobody is physically around us? But there are also seasons of our lives when we're walking through this journey and there are some great people around us. There's some great people in our lives, but we still feel lonely. Amen? So this morning, wherever you're at, I believe it's going to speak to you. I know the holidays can also sometimes bring a sense of loneliness. We think of maybe family members and friends that we've lost, maybe some broken relationships and people that we won't see this year, or maybe just the fact that we're in this city and we're on our own. Whatever it is, I believe that the word of the Lord is going to speak to you. Job 23. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If I only knew where to find him, if I could only go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him, and I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, he would not press charges against me. There the upright can establish their innocence before him, and there I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. Only Santa." Just kidding. "When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come as forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." Verse 13. "But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decrees against me, and many such plans he still has in store. That is why I am terrified before him. When I think of all of this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face." Job had experienced some issues in his life. He was a man who walked with the Lord, walked upright. He was righteous before the Lord. And the Lord allowed Satan to test him and took his family from him, his children and his goods and his wealth. And that's what that whole book is about. It's about Job going through this process. And let's pray. Because sometimes bad things happen to good people. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that your word is alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me this morning. That it would not be my words, but it would be your words. That you would challenge our hearts. You would challenge our mind. That you would challenge our will. That you would challenge our current and speak to our current season of life. Whether it's a sentence, a paragraph, the entire message, or you speak something completely different to our hearts. I just know your word is going to accomplish what it said it's going to do, and that's going to reap a harvest. So God, I just pray that wherever we're at, that we would walk out of here a little bit more differently, that we would walk out of here with our head a little higher, that we would walk out a little bit more encouraged, and that we would finish 2015 maybe stronger than we started, because we know the way that we end one season dictates how we're going to begin the next. So we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, you know, I kept going because that guitar was playing. Like, there was something about today that guitar was just playing. Thank you so much, Walter. Hey, really quick, I love to say, we have a saying here at the Gathering LA that we were never intended to do life alone. Have y'all ever heard of saying that? Like, we were never intended to do life alone. We were intended to do life in community, and we believe in that. And I don't know if anybody here had any favorite shows growing up or had any favorite cartoons growing up, but you're going to see a few of my favorite in just a second. I went back, and I began to look at some of the greatest partnerships in television and in cartoons. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that for every this, there was a that. And, you know, for every Batman, if we can put that clip up, for every Batman, there was a Robin, right? Even Batman got it down, and he knew that I can't do this alone, that I need to have my Robin with me. Anybody remember this show? I'm a Batman fan. I think Batman will squash Spider-Man all day long. You know what I'm saying? Squash him like a bug. You know what I'm saying? Won't even have to use Raid. But for every Batman, there is a Robin, right? For every Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, there is a Jazzy Jeff. Even Fresh Prince knew that he had to have a partner in crime to do this life with. For every Christopher Robin, there was a Pooh Bear. Do we have that up there? Christopher Robin and Pooh Bear. Yes, there they are. Aw, anybody remember watching that? Yeah, anybody watch that? Okay, good. There's no lame people in here. No, I'm just kidding. But even Marty McFly had a Doc. You see that? Yeah, everybody. Anybody favorites of that? Even Han Solo had a Chewbacca. You know what I'm saying? Anybody go watch Star Wars this week? Man, you guys just made Disney so rich. But anyways, you know, I began to look, man, even in unchristian entertainment and things like that, that the narratives always included a partnership. The narratives always included a duo. And in order for him to accomplish what he needed to accomplish in the movie and become the hero that he was to be, he needed a partner, he needed a sidekick, he needed somebody to do life with. And the reality is that this life, we were never intended to do it alone. We were never intended to isolate ourselves from our brothers and sisters in the faith. We were intended to do this life together. And I want to present that this argument this morning, that sometimes along this journey, it's easy to sometimes feel lonely. I believe that there are seasons that God takes us through and where we are walking with other people, and there could be a ton of people around us, but there is just something about that season in where we feel alone, we feel like nobody understands, like nobody knows what I'm going through. Even those that you surround yourself with that are your partners in crime, they can attempt to speak some words of life and edification into your soul, but for some reason, it doesn't marinate. It's like a season that you are going through and you feel alone. Even as we come into the holidays, a lot of people experience loneliness. I was reading some statistics, and we are one of the most loneliest generations that there are out there, especially such a major global city as Los Angeles with millions of people. You would think that we would feel we would have such great community and not feel alone, but it's one of the loneliest cities, and they have to attribute that to technology. In so many ways, we don't connect with people anymore as we used to connect. Everything is done with a text, a snap, a like, a follow, and that's how we have a social life. The rate of suicide and depression has increased because of those kinds of things. But in this story, Job is walking through this season of his life, and he feels so alone. I mean, he has his wife there with him, and sometimes she's a nag, and sometimes she's not, and he's got some friends with him, and they attempt to speak life into him and even discourage him or attempt to encourage him at times. But it seems like Job can't find comfort anywhere he goes. And if that is not bad enough, in this text he begins to say, I looked to the east, Lord, and you were not there. I looked to the west, God, and you were not there. I looked to the North Pole. I found Santa in Rudolph, but Lord, I didn't see you there and your workshop. I went to the south and you were not there, Lord. God, aren't you omnipresent? Does that not mean that you are everywhere all the time? But yet, I don't sense you, and yet I can't hear you. Where are you? I want you to know that there will be seasons in your life. Some refer to it as the dark hour of the dark hour. night of the soul, but I'll call this the dark hour of the dark season. There will be seasons in your life, if you haven't experienced it yet along your journey, there will be a season in your life where you will experience that same type of walk that Job has had to walk. I want you to know that there will be seasons in where God withdraws His presence from you and hides His face from you. See, that's very important for us to understand, because sometimes we have it mixed up and we think that if we don't hear God or if we don't feel God, then God is not there. No, God is there. He just sometimes withdraws His presence for a particular reason. Are you tracking with me this morning? And it's in that season for us and our minds to go absolutely crazy and think to ourselves, why am I going through this? Why am I walking through this season? Why do I feel so alone? Why are so many people around me, but yet none of them can console my soul? God, where are you? How come you haven't moved yet? How come you haven't vindicated me yet? How come you haven't come through yet? God, don't you love me? God, haven't you seen what I've done for you? And Job actually begins to present this case that he thinks that the reason that God has departed from him and the reason that all these bad things are happening to him, it's because surely he must have sinned. Man, I feel like that's the tactic of the enemy, because that brings in condemnation. He began to think, surely this is happening to me and my family. Surely I am feeling like this because I must have sinned. And my sin is causing God to relinquish His presence from me and causing me to feel like this and walk through this season. Man, that is almost some distorted perspective. But you know what? He laments to God. He tells God how he truly feels in this moment, and we'll touch on that in just a second. But then Job, as Job is expressing his frustration to God, right? As Job is processing with the Lord, he has a revelation. If you can go to Job chapter 23, verse 10 through 12 out of the Message. But he knows where I am and what I've done. He can cross-examine me all he wants, and I'll pass the test with honors. I've followed him closely, my feet in his footprints, not once swerving from this way. I've obeyed every word he's spoken, and not just obeyed his advice. I have treasured it. So Job is having an enlightening moment, per se. He is expressing frustration to God, letting God know how ticked he is. Where are you? Surely I must have done something. And then he reminds himself of God's mercies, meaning that even if I possibly sin, your mercies are new every morning, meaning that you often withhold the punishment that is due to me even if I sinned. Are you tracking with me this morning? Am I preaching to the right church? So Job reminds himself of God's mercy, that even if he sinned, God is so merciful that he withholds punishment due to him for his sin. And then he comes back and he says, no, but yet I haven't turned from you. I've obeyed everything that you've asked me to do, God. I've done everything that you've said. I've obeyed every word that you've spoken, and I didn't just obey your advice. I've actually treasured it in my heart. So surely the reason that I am walking through this loneliness, the reason that I am walking through this dark season, is not because anything that I've done. It's because you want to do something in me, so that you can do something profound through me. Are you tracking with me? You need to understand that you will go through dark seasons of life. There will be very hard seasons of life and in ministry and in faith. And you have to know that it's not always because you've done something or because you've sinned. I believe that the enemy somewhere along the line wants to drop a seed of doubt and distortion of the gospel of Jesus Christ to get you to think that God is so evil that he would actually cause calamity on you because you've sinned or maybe did something dumb. Are you dragging with me? Yes, there is consequences to our sin. Yes, where sin abound, grace abound, though. But are you tracking with me? See, I just want us to know that you will go through moments like that in life, and it does not mean that you've done anything wrong. It just means that God is trying to elevate some things in you. It just means that God is trying to do some things in you. It just means that God is trying to shape perspective in you. You want to talk about trust and faith in the Lord? Let's see how much we believe in God when calamity strikes our lives. Let's see how much we truly love God and believe in God when he hits our checking account. Let us see how much we trust God when he takes the job away. Let us see how much we trust God when he takes the paycheck away. Let us see how much we trust God when he takes this thing away. Let us see how much we trust God when he removes his presence from us and we feel like he's not there. I think many times he's trying to wean us off immaturity. spiritual immaturity. I think that he's trying to lead us into a place of maturity, learning that we don't walk by what we see, but we walk by faith. Are you tracking with me? That he wants us to walk in a higher resolve of what his word says, that he is omnipresent, that he is everywhere, that he is Emmanuel, that he is God who is with us, that he is God who lives in me, that I do have the Holy Spirit inside of me, that his promises are true. You see, it's in those seasons when God will teach you how to rest. How? You rest in his promises. What does that mean? That if you truly believe God's word to be true, then you can sleep better at night because you can sleep in his promises that all hell may break out around you, that he's going to vindicate you. That although that everything around you might be chaotic, that all everything around you might be crazy, that he is going to vindicate you and pull you through, and in the end we win. You see, I can rest in that. I can rest well knowing it does not matter how dark my season is. It does not matter how lonely I feel. It does not matter what I go through. I know in the end what your word says. So I'm not going to be led by emotion, but I'm going to be led by truth. When we allow ourselves to be led by truth, essentially what we are doing is we are elevating our maturity level. Are y'all tracking with me? So now the question is, why does God take us? Oh, you already beat me to it. Why does God take us through the dark period? Because he's testing us. He's testing us to see how our response is going to be. He's testing us to see where we're at. You know what a test does to you? When you're in high school, when you're in college, when you're at work, right? When you take a test, what is a test supposed to show you? A test shows you how much you know. A test shows you what you've learned, what you've retained. Malachi, I just saw on Instagram, he took a test for Pro Tools. He's now Pro Tools certified. He can now make beats for Tupac because he's still alive in Cuba. But what I'm saying is, he's not. For real, don't TMZ that. But I saw on his Instagram, the test showed his knowledge of the material and how much he prepared for exam. It showed him where he was at. Sometimes God will lead you through these dark seasons or this season of loneliness and where you feel this way because he wants to test you, because he wants to show you where you are really at. You know, sometimes we think we're here and then God then knocks something off your life and then you realize you're here. You tracking with me? But that's okay because he doesn't want you to stay here. He just wants to show you where you really are to bring you up here. Sometimes you're here, but he wants you up here. So he has to show you the space between us. It's far and wide. Anyways, again, I always sing because I'm horrible at it. But you give me a mic, I'm going to do what I want. And the space of growth that he wants to obtain in your life. Or sometimes you think that you're really down here and you have a very just narrow perspective of your spirituality. And he reveals to you, no, beloved, you're really here. And you need to start walking like you're here instead of down here. You tracking with me? See, we're going to be tested. And in verse 10, do you have Job 23:10? Please put that up. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. So Job stopped and reflected and said, this is a test. But guess what? I see you, Lord. I see what you're doing. Now, this sucks, but I see what you're doing. You are testing me, but guess what, Lord? I know that when you're done with this test, I'm going to come out like gold. I'm going to come out so pure. I'm going to come out so refined. I'm going to be looking fine, too. It's going to be so good, God. And I know, so he stopped. There is something about when we express our frustrations to God that helps us process some things. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I'll come back. Go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 out of the Amplified Version. Even Jesus, the Son of God, had to experience testing. If we tell Jesus, I want to be more like you, then get ready to walk through some of the things that Jesus walked through. You just won't have to go to the cross for the salvation of mankind because he already paid that debt. Are you tracking with me? After Jesus was baptized, then Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, the desert, to be tempted. Hold up. Wait a minute. I'm going to put some Jesus in it right here. You mean to tell me that it wasn't Satan that led Jesus into the testing? No, it wasn't Satan. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Wow. That is crazy. That is mind-blowing. Think about that for just a second. To be tempted. That means that Jesus was going to go into the dark hour. He was going to go alone, only with the Holy Spirit, and have to be tempted and tried by Satan. Because it would show the world what Jesus was made of, and it would show Satan what Jesus was made of. Are you tracking with me? Be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later he was hungry. Now, I ain't trying to do all that 40-day, 40-night thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm hungry, but if God called me to fast, I'll do it. But even Jesus was let alone. Jesus had to walk alone for 40 days. That's a season. He had to walk alone into a place that was a desert and that was a wilderness. He was alone. You know what? There are some battles that we're going to face in this life that we're going to face them alone. But guess what? You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. It is there to guide you. It is there to lead you. It is there to instruct you. You have the Word of God, which is a lamp into your feet that will show you the way that you should go. In these moments of time, it's not for us to retreat from God and the things of God. It's a moment to press into the things of God. Some of you have gotten too comfortable in your Christianese, so God has had to lead you into the wilderness to bring you back to that place of love. Are you dragging with me? Some of us have allowed familiarity to breed contempt. And sometimes you got to go right back into that place in order to get that first love. Are y'all still with me this morning? What's another reason that we go through the dark period of our lives? For purifying. For purifying. God wants to purify some things in our life. Job alluded to it when he talked about being as pure as gold. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Oh, okay, there's purpose to this. It's going to show me that my faith is for real. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So Job has made a reference to gold. Peter is now making a reference to testing and gold. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So we kind of see this cross-reference of Job is talking, I'm going to come out as pure as gold. The way you purify gold is turning up the heat. You can't stand the heat. They say, get out the kitchen. Stay in that mess. Stay in the kitchen. It's going to get hotter, but it's going to be okay because God is doing something. Some of you have to go through that season because there are some things in your heart that God needs to uplift. Some things that God needs to remove, some that dross that needs to be removed from the gold. Are you tracking with me? When you take gold and you pull it out, it's filled with mud and dirt. When you put it in the fire, all the impurities come to the surface. For all of you Latinos in here, anybody ever heard of a thing called pozole? Pozole is a Mexican dish, and it's made with a pig's butt or something like that, or a beef butt. I don't know, but anyways. But what you do is you put that in the water, because I made it, so I went online and had to figure out how to make it. You boil that mess, and what happens? All the fat and all the grime comes to the top. Nobody eats pozole with all that nasty drama on the top. What does your abuelita do and your mom do? She takes a big old ladle or a spoon, and she scrapes all the stuff off the top, and she throws it in the trash, because why? That's all garbage. That's all fat. That's all the remnant of stuff that you don't need, so they remove it to keep the pozole pure. Are y'all tracking with me? I had to speak on your level. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know there's a lot of Latinos in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real though. And that's what testing and trials do. They bring things to surface that God doesn't want you to take with you into 2016. They bring things to the surface that God has to extract before he gives you what he's desiring to give you. See, that's what it does. So that's why you need to count it a joy when you're going through that season, because you're realizing God is doing something in me. I always say, stop asking God, why me? And God, what in me? I want you to know that God loves you as you are, but he loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you that way. God desires that change and transformation come into your life. You never stop growing as a believer. We won't become like Jesus until we are in heaven. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to continue to make an effort, and God is making the effort on his part to do things in your life. And I want you to know that maybe the dark season, the dark hour, maybe 2015 has just been hell. It has come. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So that when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor. Something is going on in your life. and in your heart. It is so awesome. And if you don't take heed to what He's trying to do in you right now, and you keep kicking against it, and you keep fighting it, you're going to go into that season again, just at a different time in your life. Are you tracking with me? So it's always good to get what God is trying to get in there. Another reason that we go through the dark period is growth. Growth. He wants to grow us. He wants us to grow. I've alluded to this a little bit. He wants us to mature. He wants to take us from a place of immaturity, maybe to a place of maturity in our faith. He wants us to grow in our spiritual journey. He wants us to learn how to finish strong. I talked about this in my e-letter a few weeks ago, but some of us are great starters, but we just stink at finishing. Our generation, this young generation, we are known for being horrible finishers and people who will not commit to anything. Because we want to know our options all the time, and there could be something better that comes up. Do you think that God wants to grow your perspective and teach you how to finish what you commit to? Even in your relationships? Even in just other areas of your life? Man, I think that that's one thing that God wants to teach our generation and our city. What it means to finish strong. Can people count on you to do what you say you're going to do? In the beginning, yes, but later on when you get tired of doing it, can people still count on you? See, sometimes God wants to grow you. He wants to teach you how to finish. Well, guess what? Who's the greatest person that ever finished? Jesus. He finished knowing what was up ahead. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was alone and his disciples were asleep, while he was praying and sweating blood, he could have called down a legion of angels and said, "It is done. I ain't doing this for these people." He knew that he would be on that cross by himself, and that God the Father would turn his face on him, and all of heaven would turn their back on him because he would be carrying sin. He knew that he would face the ultimate loneliness, but yet he finished. And there was a reward because he finished. It's you and I, us here, salvation. That's a good place, yeah. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 out of the New Living Translation says this: "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death." If God asked me to write this, I'd be like, no, ask Peter, because I ain't trying to write this down. This is Paul. Like, we can't fully know Christ until we know Christ in his sufferings. Like, think about that for just a second. I ain't saying you got to go to the cross or anything like that. But there was something about the dark hour. There was something about that dark season, and where if you press into the things of God, you get to see Jesus on a whole new level that you've never seen Jesus before. There was something about going through hard times and going through pains that you see Jesus make Jesus in the mess and make it into a masterpiece. I've seen Jesus more in my dark hour than I've seen on the mountain of transfiguration. I've seen Jesus do things more in me and through me and reveal things to me in the dark hour and in the dark season than in anything. If you want to know Christ to the fullness, get ready. I ain't trying to scare you. Like, it ain't a bad thing. Like, we all go through stuff. Even if you weren't walking with Jesus, you're going to go through the dark hour. But dang, I'd rather have Jesus with me than have to go through it alone. You know what I mean? He wants to grow you. Maybe ask yourself, what area of my life do I really need to grow in? What area of my life do I really need to mature in? I'm always broke. What am I spending my money on? Am I always in jacked up relationships where they always leave me and use me? That ain't their problem. There's something in me that needs to change. Maybe it's self-worth and self-perspective and all these different things. And maybe God is letting you experience that for you to wake up. Well, what in me needs to grow? Maybe I quit everything I start. Maybe I hop from church to church hoping one day I'll find something. I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe it's just my perspective that needs to grow. Maybe I have a codependency issue, and that's why I feel like I always have to be in a relationship. I don't know what it is. Maybe we're always fighting with our spouse, and maybe we always blame it on them, but maybe it's us. I mean, it's definitely not me. It's probably Ashley, if that would be the case. My wife, because she's Latina. We always blame it on us being Latino, but, you know. Anyways, God's growing her too, you know. I'm kidding. She's teaching kids, so I can say stuff like that. But I want you to know that He's not only the God of the morning, but He's also the God of the night. Go to Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. "For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime." This is the fun part. "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Sometimes when you're in the night, it's hard to see the morning. Sometimes when you're in that dark period, it's so hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It always gets darkest before it gets brighter. It always gets the coldest right before the sun comes up. Did you know that? Go on your weather app. I want you to go on your weather app tonight. I want you to look at your weather app, and I want you to look at the hourly temperature, and I want you to see how cold it gets at nighttime up until 3 or 4 in the morning. And then I want you to see right before the sun comes up, 2 hours to an hour before the sun comes up, I want you to see how the temperature drops a few more degrees right before the sun comes up. Are you tracking with me? It's always coldest before sunrise. Some of you are on the verge of a breakthrough. Some of you are also on the verge of giving up. But if you had to go through hell up until this point, why would you throw in the towel and miss what's on the other end? Some of you right now are on the cusp of something profound. Remember, it's always coldest before the sun comes up. But joy comes in the morning. You know when the morning is? The morning sometimes isn't when the sun comes up. It's when you choose to wake up. Stop waiting for the sunrise and start opening your eyes. Dang, that's a tweet. But you have to, like, if you weren't in here, you wouldn't know what it means. So don't tweet that. Yeah, context. Can you recite me in a paper or something? Anyways, inside joke too soon? Anyways, I don't even know what I was gonna say, but it's gonna be good. Some of you, this has been you. Psalm 126, 4-6. I'm preaching and teaching, is that okay? Psalm, that's what it says. Those who sow with tears will reap the songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Maybe 2015 has been a year where you've cried more than anything. Your tears have actually been the watering to your harvest. You may have sowed with tears, but the Lord promises to you that you will reap with joy. Come on, that right there, if that doesn't comfort you in the dark hour, I don't know what does. It assures me that every tear that I've shed, every tear that has rolled off my eye and hit the ground, every time that I've cried for our city or cried over my situation or cried before the Lord, that all of those tears were simply the watering mechanism to the harvest that was coming for my life. There is purpose in your pain. There is purpose in your struggle. There is purpose in those tears because it is working up something so great for you. If you hold on, hold on. Something is coming. It has to. Not because the pastor said it, but because the Word of God says it. There was something profound. And so here is the other question. The question is, and I'm almost done. I didn't say in closing. I just said I'm almost done. Then I will say in closing. Just want to let you guys know. How do we navigate our emotions in the dark hour? Because our emotions can get the best of us. You know, I always find that my emotions play tricks on me. Don't believe everything you think. Because it's not always true. You know, Oswald Chambers, this guy I inspired, and this old, he's dead, no. He said in the context of sin, but I want to actually use this. He said, it's okay that the bird fly over your head and pass by. Just don't allow the bird to land on your head, build its nest, and hatch its eggs, because then now you have a problem. Don't believe every thought and every lie that Satan throws at you. Let it fly over your head unless it's aligned with the Word of God, which it never will when Satan throws it at you. Let every lie that comes that you believe about yourself or about somebody else, let it fly over your head. Don't let it land on your head, build its home, and then have its kids, because then you have a problem. Everything you think is not always true. So how do we navigate our emotions through these seasons? Number one, voice your frustration to God. Stop going from house to house, sharing it with everyone else, and posting it on social media. My natural inclination when I'm going through a difficult season is to go and tell my, you know what I mean? And I realized that I thought that I've gone to God, but I've yet to turn to God. He's almost like the last one that I turn to. I think that just because I'm thinking it, that I'm having a conversation with God, but really I'm not. I'm just talking to myself. What did Job do? Job expressed his frustration to God. There was healing in that. When he expressed his frustration to God, he got revelation from God, although he felt that God was far away. Surely I've sinned. Oh, wait, no. He reminded himself of God's mercies and that all he's obeyed God and all that he's done. Elijah, when he was depressed in the cave, running from Jezebel after he had just slayed it and did great things for God, God finds him, and the first thing that God does is ask him to state his case to him. So Elijah expresses his frustration to God. Take your frustration to the Lord. Take him Monday night to the prayer closet in West Hollywood. Take him to the Lord, because there is healing in that. God wants us to come to him and not always go to everybody else. That's why you haven't received your healing. Job tried to go to his friends, and they didn't give him any revelation. But the minute he turned to God, something happened. There will be seasons where your friends will not even have a word for you, so stop fishing for it. Start fishing in heaven. Start turning to the Lord, because he can give you an answer that can turn around everything in your mind and in your heart and then change the trajectory of your life. Go to the Lord. Express your frustration to him. Secondly, it's going to be good. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord. There will be seasons in where you will have to encourage yourself in the Lord. That is maturity, by the way. If you always have to wait for somebody to say that you've done a good job, then I'm sorry, beloved, you don't miss the point. If you always have to wait for the pat on the back, if you are that person that is always waiting for someone to encourage you and you put yourself out there in order to place yourself on the pedestal to receive some sort of notification or some sort of glorification or whatever, then you don't miss the point. There will be seasons in where you will have to encourage yourself in the Lord. I'll just be real. As a pastor, you don't know how much this is so true for me. And I know if it's true for me, you don't got to be a pastor. I know it has to be true for some of you. There will be seasons in where you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. This is King David. He's in a situation where they've made some moves and they've had a bad outcome. And now all his men that were for him want to kill him. And he's got a whole army of men that are by him, but yet he is alone. As a leader, not everybody's going to understand your decision. Are you tracking with me? Sometimes the God will speak to a leader, and this isn't like heresy. Sometimes God will speak to a leader, and the only responsibility the leader has is to be obedient, as long as it lines up with the word of God. God spoke to David. God didn't speak to David's men, so David's men wanted to kill the leader. Ain't nobody going to kill me, right? I'm just kidding, like... And David was greatly distressed for the... This is the King James Version. So people spake of stoning him. I'm just kidding. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, what does encourage yourself in the Lord mean? Like, does that mean like you got this? You the man. And another one. And another one. And you lick your eyebrow. You know what I mean? Like, you cute. You real good looking. Her loss. You know what I mean? Like, how do you encourage? You record yourself and then play it back? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you do that? Like, yeah, you YouTube or something? Like, you find, like, inspirational videos or something? Like what do you play? Like, sea crashing music for 24 hours? How do you do that? Well, in the original language, this is what the words encourage himself mean. Can you go to the next slide? The word encourage himself in the Hebrew has a few meanings better than the English. It means that David, it means to be harsh, having a high degree of intensity. It means to be strong, having the ability to accomplish what is intended and an element of resolve. It means conquer, triumph, to defeat an enemy and so have authority over them. It means to press on and keep on going. So when David encouraged himself in the Lord, he had to get harsh over his situation. He had to get a higher degree of intensity. He had to be strong, meaning that he had to have the ability to accomplish what was intended and have an element of resolve. He had to conquer. He had to triumph, to defeat the enemy. He needed to know that he had authority over his situation, and he needed to press on. He needed to keep going even in that dark hour. Some of us need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You need to learn to have a higher degree of intensity with your walk in God. You need to learn how to be a little bit stronger and have the ability to accomplish what God said that you were going to accomplish. You need to know that you are a conqueror, that you are already above your circumstance. You are the head and you are not the tail, that God has made the enemies a footstool unto him, and you need to press on and you need to keep going. You better give God praise right there. Don't be quiet like God ain't speaking. Some of us need to learn to encourage ourselves because you're sitting in self-pity. That is a sin. You want to sit there and wallow over your season and your shortcoming and your lack of and your hurt and what they did to you and what they said and what they didn't say and they didn't notice you. Shut up and encourage yourself in the Lord. It's okay to stop by there. Just don't park your car there. When you get there, turn to the Lord and let the frustration out and let healing come, and then encourage yourself in the Lord. If you can begin to come and play some romantic, like slow, like not like, you know, crazy, because I want to get in the mood to preach. Some of us, you got to encourage yourselves in the Lord. It's so easy to get into this, oh, woe is me, oh, Baba, Eeyore mentality. Self-pity ain't going to change God's perspective or mind on the situation. He's going to wait for you to get out of that wallowing. Sometimes the only way out of the pit is for us to climb out of the one we created. Are you tracking with me? Hey, I've been there. Oh, I've been there. Oh, I've been there. So, we got that romantic music on? I mean, you're looking good too. So, romantic music, handsome looking man. She's married. So you got to... One, voice your frustrations to God. Two, we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Three, what did David do after? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8 out of the King James Version. After David encouraged himself in the Lord, and David inquired in that time, you can spell inquired with an E. I want you to know that we didn't misspell it, okay? And because I know, my typos are always on horribleness. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So you go to the Lord and voice your frustration. You encourage yourself in the Lord, and then you inquire of the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And God spoke to him, but I want to break down, what does inquire in the original language mean? Can you go to that next slide? And I spelt it with an I. Is it there? Inquire. Do we have it? Yay or nay? Okay, we don't have it. But this is it. Are you with me? The word inquire in the original language means to interrogate, to consult, to claim, to demand, to wish, and to beg for, undefined. Are you with me? To interrogate, to consult, to claim, to demand, to wish, to beg for, undefined. That means that David encouraged himself in the Lord in that season when all of his friends wanted to kill him, all of his roll dogs, when nobody was there to encourage him. And I believe that it caused a hunger and a desperation for God, that he turned to the Lord, that he made a demand on God, that he interrogated the Lord, that he begged for it undefined. I believe it was a moment of desperation for David, being desperate for God to move. Some of you, if you never went through the dark period, you would never learn what it means to be desperate for God. You don't know who God is until God is all you have. And it could just be that this period of your life, or this season that we go through, or this Job 23 moment, is simply because God wants more of you. He don't want last year's edition of you. He don't want 2 months relationship ago of you. He wants more of you now. And some of us, honestly, just by nature, if God sometimes didn't allow things like this to happen, we would never turn to Him and we would think that we've accomplished it on our own. I close with this scripture. Psalm 42:1. It's very popular. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. You ever look at the context of this? When the writer wrote it, the imagery was a deer that was in a sun-scorched land. That it was in a dry land where there was no water. And because there was no water, the deer frantically panted with his tongue out and that white foam. It looked like he had rabies. Just like some of your animals, right? You ever seen that? Like panting, thirsty, looking for water because there was no water around. And David says, as a deer pants for streams of water in a sun-scorched land, so my soul pants for you, my God. See, I don't think the author of that could write that if he didn't understand what the dark period was. What it was to be in a cave alone. What it was to have your men turn against you. What it was to walk out of a kingdom alone with nobody for you and everybody against you and asking God where He was. But He says, God, when you weren't, I couldn't find you in the north, and when I couldn't find you in the east, and when I couldn't find you in the west, and when I couldn't find you in the south, that's when I wanted you the most. And I'm desperate for you. So maybe, I don't know, maybe God is creating such a heart after His. After all, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add all these things unto you. Maybe God wants us to seek Him more. You know, I was in the shower a few weeks ago. I haven't seen it since. I've been taking showers, and my wife has her shaving, her little, you know, the legs shaving cream on the windowsill right there, and I use it because it smells better than mine. Don't tell her that. She's always like, "Why am I running out so quick?" I don't know. It must be the kids. I'll just run to Target real quick because it's pink. You know, I ain't trying to man up to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't tell her I said that. And every time I see it and I walk in, I always see there's like this lettering in the back. It says content under extreme pressure. Content under extreme pressure. And I began to think to myself, in order for that shaving cream to come out and be actually useful and be able to be utilized and be able to be silky smooth and foamy all at the same time, that the content within that canister has to be under an immense amount of pressure. The pressure on the content within the container is what allows the content within the container to serve its full function when it comes out on the other end. You dragging with me? Sometimes in life, it's like shaving cream. You're like a bottle of shaving cream. Janet? She's looking at me like, where is he going with this? Sometimes in the moment and in the season, you're under this immense amount of pressure. Things are pressing on you on every side, trouble and trials and difficulties. But there was something about when you go through that season and you're under that pressure and you're under that season, what it's doing for you, it's serving a purpose so that when you come out on the other side, you're going to be able to function in the fullness and in the purpose of what you were created to do. And unless you went through that pressure, you would never come out better than you were when you were inside. Are you tracking with me? That's a good place to give God praise. You stand with me this morning.